Turn to Luke chapter 11. On your way there, you can maybe hold a place in Matthew 7 as well. We'll get there in just a moment. First, this from James. James chapter 1 and verse 17 tells us, every good and perfect gift comes to us from God, our Father in heaven. Scripture is abundantly clear. Simply put, borrowing the words of the psalmist, God is good and what he does is good. James adds to that thought. Not only is God good, and not only does God do good, he gives good. For every believer in Jesus, because of Jesus, through Jesus, God is made to be our Father. We're adopted into his family. We're made to be his children. And so then, really, it is true, because he is good, and because he does good, and because he gives good, God really is our good, good, good Father. Aren't you glad for that this morning? God is good to his children. And listen, once more, in Jesus, because of Jesus, and through Jesus, that's you and me. Listen, all of us together, he is our good Father. Listen to me, each and every one, each and every believer in this room, hear me today. He is your good Father. Scripture declares it, but you know it. Your Father in heaven is good to you. You know that's true, right? You know it to be true. In fact, can we just do a thing this morning? Would you respond? Yes, he is. Your Father in heaven is good to you. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He is good to me. Your Father in heaven does good for you. With me again. Yes, he does. Your Father does good. Yes, he does. Yes, he does do good for me. And your Father in heaven gives good gifts to you, his child. For sure he has. In fact, James lets us to know, every good and perfect gift that you've ever received has come from him, your good, good Father. This morning, we will in no way neglect or ignore. We will not miss that God is good and what he does is good. In fact, I would encourage you this morning, even though it's not our message, may it be a message that resonates in your heart. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, let this be the foundation of your life. Let this be the lens through which you look at everything that you're going through, everything that you're dealing with. My God, my Father, oh, he is good, and he does good for me. Our focus this morning will be on the good gifts that come to us from our good Father. Luke chapter 11 and verse 9. And so I say to you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For those who ask will receive, and those who seek will find. And the door will be opened to anyone who knocks. Would any of you who are fathers give your son a snake when he asks for fish? Or would you give him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? As bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more then will the Father in heaven, your Father in heaven, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I read this just over a week ago in my own personal devotional time. I had read it many times. In his gospel, Matthew describes the same teaching of Jesus, just in that context, whenever I've read through the Gospels, whenever you read through them, we've read through this twice already. It's a familiar portion of Scripture. If you underline or highlight in your Bible, there's a very good chance you have these verses marked, probably even in both Matthew and Luke. I've shared these verses, preached on this portion of Scripture, maybe in fact quite a few times. But when I read this just recently, it was one of those experiences probably each of us has had at one time or another in our own devotional time, or even here on a Sunday morning listening to the word being preached. God takes what we know, verses we're familiar with, even very familiar with, verses that we've read many times, and in our hearts and in our spirits, He just sort of shines a spotlight on the truth of them. It's not that we see something that we never saw before, though that can happen. But this is more the truth we already knew, the message we already knew. Oh, but wow, how it comes alive to us, for us, and in us. I knew these verses. I knew the ask and the seek and the knock. I knew the so you'll receive and so you'll find and the door will be opened. I knew it was there. I knew the illustration was coming. What you'll give your child when they're hungry. If they ask for bread, you won't give them a stone. You won't give them a serpent. You won't give them a scorpion. I knew the illustration that was there. I knew the sort of comparing and contrasting that would take place. Sort of us being set next to God, if you will. Us who are bad, who are evil, set alongside God who is good. We who are bad still know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more does God know how to give us good gifts then? Before I read it, I knew the message of it all. God's our Father in heaven, and He knows how to give us, His children, good gifts. Even as I begin to read, I was aware of what I knew Luke would do, that he would zero in on the Holy Spirit. In Luke, the Holy Spirit is the good gift that God will give to His children who ask Him. I had read it before. I knew this word. I knew the truths revealed. I knew the message being conveyed. But God took that still and breathed life into it for me. I was left awestruck and in wonder by what I had read many, many times and would have already claimed to know. Let me share with you what I sort of experienced, a sort of process, really, that I would say the Lord took me through in being amazed at this that Jesus says. Not that I necessarily missed anything that came before, but my attention was first drawn to the Holy Spirit. The first thought then is this. Luke chapter 11, the Holy Spirit, listen to me now, He's the good gift that you want. Yes, you do. You want the gift of God's Spirit. According to Scripture, this is the marvelous, this is the wonderful work of the Spirit in us. This is the good gift that the Spirit is to us. He's our counselor. He's our advocate. He's our defender. It's the Spirit that helps us to put to death the misdeeds of the flesh, to get rid of sin in our lives. It's the Spirit that helps us to fully surrender ourselves to God and be then all God wants us to be and do all that God wants us to do. The Spirit empowers us so that we can live in victory. And so that we can be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. It's the Spirit that sanctifies us, helps us to look like Jesus, respond to circumstances like Jesus responded to circumstances. It's the Spirit that will help you sleep in the back of the boat while it's being tossed about by the wind and the waves and the storms of life. It's the Spirit that helps us to respond to people, to love people, to treat people like Jesus did. It's the Spirit that produces in us all the Christ-like characteristics that we would identify in Galatians as the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Spirit guides us. He's the Spirit of truth who guides us into all truth. He convicts us and convinces us of the truth we need to believe and we need to live in. He guides us in God's word. He guides us in God's will. He guides us in prayer. Listen to this from Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right there helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows, of course, what the Spirit is saying as He pleads for us in harmony with God's own will. You know, our tendency is to isolate verses of Scripture. And what we do is our mind is captured by one that, wow, that's beautiful and that's wonderful and that's powerful. And we tend to pull that out from the rest. And what we tend to do then is miss what all else is there. Do you understand? I read to you Romans 8, verse 26 and verse 27. You know what comes after 26 and 27. Romans 8, 28, the verse you love, the verse you have underlined, the verse you hold dear to. God works all things for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. But listen, don't miss it. I'm going to tell you this morning why you can stand on that truth, why you can build your life on it, why you can know with absolute certainty, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, all things will work for your good. Why? Because of verse 26 and 27. In all things, the Spirit of the living God is interceding for you, praying for you. And God knows the mind and the heart of the Spirit. The Spirit prays God's will for you. This is how the Spirit guides us in prayer. He guides us in what to say when we're in situations we don't know what to say. When we are given opportunity to bear witness to Jesus, but we don't know how. The Spirit guides us then, helps us then and always to witness in power and with power. Always the work of the Spirit is to glorify Jesus. It's the Spirit that reveals Jesus to us. It's the Spirit that makes us aware of the personal presence of Jesus, His love for us, His blessing on us, His help, His forgiveness, His healing, and all the rest that would be ours through faith. It's the Spirit that makes Jesus to be magnified, to shine better and brighter in us and through us. It's the Spirit who draws our hearts to seek Jesus, more and more of Him, more and more of Him in us, more and more of Him working through us. Through the Spirit, we've received a spirit of adoption. Instead of a relationship based on fear and slavery, the Spirit bears witness that we're God's children. The Spirit reminds us of our salvation. The Spirit reminds us of our right standing with God. The Spirit reminds us that our sins have been atoned for. The Spirit reminds us we've been forgiven and clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. All that in turn then leads us into intimacy with the Father. The Spirit then does both. He brings us closer to Jesus and He brings us closer to God. And the Spirit connects us
to God's family, gifts us so that we can help build up that family. Strength comes from the Holy Spirit. Hope, encouragement, unity, the bond of peace comes from the Holy Spirit. Growth comes from the Holy Spirit. Freedom. Oh, you know it this morning. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. The Holy Spirit, He's our helper. He's the one who's called alongside to walk with us and help us. Listen, for whatever help you would need today, if you need help to live in power, if you need help to live in victory, if you need help to live more than a conqueror, if you need help living like Jesus, if you need help witnessing for Jesus, if you need help loving the unlovable, if you need help living in joy and peace that passes understanding, if you need help in prayer, you don't know what to say in prayer, you don't know what to pray or how to pray for that situation, if you need help understanding the Word, this is the wonderful work of the Spirit in us and for us. He is our helper. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, you believed in Christ, and God put His stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit He had promised. Verse 14, the Spirit is the guarantee that we shall receive what God has promised His people. All of His promises to you and to me, the Spirit is the guarantee. We have the Spirit. God at salvation has put His Spirit in us. We have the Spirit, and because we do, we are guaranteed all of God's promises. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee for us. Don't you see it? Don't you know it to be true? The Holy Spirit, He's the good gift that we want. Listen to me. I know there might be a long list of things that you want. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit is the thing above all other things that you want. I was thinking of that related to the New Testament church, the church that's filled with the good gift of the Holy Spirit. Not filled just on the day of Pentecost, but rather instead continuously filled. Filled again and again. This is a church that will recognize the power the Spirit gives. The power that the Spirit brings into one's life. This will be a church that will come to depend on that power. Not man's power. Not creativity. Not ingenuity, not wise or persuasive words, but rather instead the demonstration of the Spirit's power. This will be a church that will believe in the gifts of the Spirit. This will be a church wherein the gifts of the Spirit are manifested. Wisdom, words of knowledge, healing, faith, and discernment. This will be a church that prays in the Spirit. This will be a church that speaks the prophetic, that proclaims the prophetic as the Spirit enables. This will be a church that will believe in the help the Spirit gives, the help to guard the good deposit of faith and trust in Jesus, the help to guard and keep all that they had learned and knew of Jesus. This will be a church that will fully recognize, oh, this isn't a spirit of timidity, but rather one of power and love and self-discipline. This will be a church that will pursue the fruit of the Spirit, a church that will strive to stay in step with the Spirit. This will be a church that will prioritize the Spirit, esteem and treasure greatly the work of the Spirit. And this will be a church that will passionately pursue the Spirit. More and more and more of the Spirit, more of His power, more of His anointing, not just even the infilling of the Spirit into their lives, but the saturation of the Spirit. Really, maybe better to say it this way, not just the infilling, but the outflowing of the Spirit from their lives. And watch this now. Subsequently then, because of all that, it will be a church at its best, where there's the unashamed and uncompromised preaching of the gospel. Repent, turn to Jesus, believe in Jesus, be saved from this corrupt generation. The church at its best, where the miraculous is happening. Signs and wonders being performed to confirm the preaching of the word. The church at its best, where there's supernatural growth. The Lord adding daily to their number. And not just growth, but discipleship in the context of that growth. Not just church attenders. Not just an ability to draw a big crowd, but real, true disciples of the Lord. The church at its best, where there's a dedication to prayer, where there's a devotion to instruction, to the teaching of the apostles, that's the word. They will give themselves, they will surrender themselves wholeheartedly, uncompromisingly to the word and to its instruction. One author says this: the disciples not only developed a vertical relationship to God, but also nourished horizontally a warm, honest, open, healing, redeeming fellowship with one another. The church at its best, where there's real fellowship, there's real communion with one another. The church at its best, where the church really does life together. Simply put, the example is clear. The precedent is set. If we want to be at our best, if we want New Life to be at its best, oh, how we will need the Holy Spirit in us, working in us, working among us, working through us. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit, He is the good gift that you want. Then there was this, Luke 11. The Holy Spirit, He's the good gift that your good Father gives to you. Look at it again in verse 13. As bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more then will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? This really was the thing that so captured my attention and my heart. I'm reading this in Luke. The Holy Spirit is mentioned, and first then my mind drifts to Him. The Spirit is the good gift of God. All the Spirit does in us and all that He does through us, oh, we want the Spirit. I was thinking of it related to the church, to New Life, to this place, every time we gather, in everything, for everything we'd ever determined to do. I was specifically thinking of it for the Sunday that was coming. I was thinking of it related to my own life, personally for me, for my family, for the pastoral ministry that God has called me to. Oh, how we need, how you need, how I need, how together as a church we need, how we need every Sunday, how we need every Wednesday, how we need for every ministry endeavor, how we need for every day, how we need even for every moment of every day, how we need the Holy Spirit. He's the good gift. We want Him. More than just wanting Him, we need Him. And so naturally, my immediate response, oh God, won't you give us the good gift? Won't you give us the Holy Spirit? Let Him be more and more present in this place. Let Him be more and more present in my life. And then the spotlight shined on the word so I could see it. That God breathed life into what I had read so many times before and certainly knew. How much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? All of a sudden, this is the realization. Wanting the good gift, needing the good gift. What had I done? I had asked Him for the Spirit. And so then, because He's a good Father who knows how to give good gifts, what is He, my good Father in heaven, what's He going to do? in accordance to his word, he's going to give me his spirit. In that moment, there was just a realization, it was done. It was settled. Luke 11, I had asked. And because I had, really more so because he's a good father, I would receive the Holy Spirit. There was no other option. There was nothing left to do. There was nothing left to say except, thank you. I've asked. I will receive. So God, my good Father, thank you for the gift of your Spirit. I can't begin to describe to you both the encouragement and excitement I felt in that moment. Reminded of the good gift of the Spirit, I wanted him for us here. I saw so clearly how much we need him here. And immediately asked God, and immediately then was made wonderfully aware of the truth. Our good Father in heaven gives the Spirit to those who ask. And I had asked. So we would have him here, guaranteed, guaranteed by the word of a God who cannot lie. Let me ask you this morning, is his word true or is it not true? If he says, I am a good father who know how to give the gift of my spirit to those who ask, is it true or is it not true? If we ask him, will we get the spirit or will we not? In accordance to his word, we will. We will. His word is the guarantee that we will. Oh, the encouragement that came from knowing my prayer would be answered. And oh, the excitement for what that would look like for us. Listen, Luke 11, the Holy Spirit is the good gift that you want. The good news, really, the really good news, the Holy Spirit, he's the good gift that your Father gives to you when you ask. So then let me include the obvious encouragement here. Ask. James chapter 4 and verse 2. You do not have because you do not ask God. Ask him. In accordance to Luke chapter 11, ask and keep on asking. Don't ever stop. Don't ever quit asking. Earlier in Luke 11, Jesus sort of illustrates his message with the story. Suppose one of you had a late night visitor, had to make a late night visit to a neighbor to properly host that visitor. You would keep asking. You would keep knocking until the neighbor got tired of the asking and the knocking and gave you what you needed. That asking, that keep on asking, that knocking, keep on knocking, seeking, keep on seeking. That speaks to persistence. Comparable words that are illustrated here. Aggravation, annoyance, bothersome, bugging, harassing, pestering. Listen, if you've had kids, been around kids, spent any time with kids, then you know these words. I know they're a gift from the Lord and all that, but in their asking, can't they be aggravating? Can't they be annoying? I've got six of them. Dad, can we? Dad, you said we could. Dad, you said in just a minute. It's been just a minute. Dad, can we today? Dad, you said we could. Dad, I want to. Dad, can we? Can we? Can we? Dad, can we? Dad, 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 Dad. That kind of persistence. You ask God like your kids ask you. Don't quit. Don't give up. But in the story that Jesus tells, he takes it further. The neighbor responds. You can read it. The neighbor, according to scripture, the neighbor actually responds, not just because the man's persistence. The word that's used in the King James, because of the man's importunity in asking. Comparable words, his brashness, his boldness. Without reservation or restraint. It's a brazen audacity. Who does this guy think he is? Coming to my house in the middle of the night. Asking me for bread. Asking me for oil and flour. because he's had a visitor come to his home. Really, the message of Scripture, the man gets what he needs because the request was so daring and bold. I've got a 10-year-old daughter who asks me to take her to the mall. What about any of this that makes her think, I want to go to the mall? She wants to go and see the dogs and the thing and get one out so she can play with it. And then she wants me to take her to Claire's. It's a girl's store with earrings and makeup and all the rest. Who does she think she is that this guy wants to go to the mall? Probably will include a stop at Starbucks along the way. Probably will include us in the car. Dad, can you share your hotspot so I can get on my phone and play us some music? What makes her think I want to listen to her music, go to Starbucks or the mall? Because of the audacity of her asking. I can assure you, one day this week, you will find me at the mall with my 10-year-old daughter. The man gets what he asked for because he's so bold in the asking. It's almost, this is so crazy. I can't believe this guy asked. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and give it to him, though. I mean, this is unbelievable, but I'll give to him what he asks for. Really, it is the invitation from the Lord. You ask like that. You be that kind of aggravation and annoyance. That's really the picture presented. Be careful, though. It's the contrast, remember? God's not like us. We would understand it. You might do that with others. Others might do it with you. This is the truth. God would never do that with us. You could never be an aggravation or an annoyance to God. Not even in your coming to him and asking and asking and asking and asking. But that's the picture. It's the one that keeps doing that until they drive everyone around them nuts. Oh no, here they come. Don't answer the door. Don't answer that phone. Look away. Maybe they won't see us. All they're going to do is ask us again. Bug us again about this that they're needing from us. You ask like that. You ask with that kind of boldness and brashness. That what you ask for make the people around you respond in disbelief. I can't believe their audacity in asking God for that. Let them be shocked by your importunity, your brazen and bold prayers, while even at the same time, God is pleased with it. Ask him. Don't let it ever be that you don't get the good gift that your good father wants to give to you simply because you didn't ask. Luke 11. So the first thought, the Holy Spirit, he's the good gift that we want. And then the good news. Oh, the Holy Spirit, he's the good gift that our good father gives to us when we ask. And then with that came the caution. All that is exactly what I experienced in reading this not too many days ago. Reading of the Holy Spirit, considering his work. Oh, we want him. We need him. And then, well, I'm going to ask God. Of course I am. The Holy Spirit's the good gift from our good Father that we want, that we need. So yes, of course. It becomes my prayer. It becomes my request. It becomes our prayer. It becomes our request. Oh God, let your spirit be present here in this place. Let your spirit be present in our lives every day in everything. And even as I'm asking, there's the word that leaps off the pages of Scripture and comes alive to me. He gives the spirit to those who ask. I've asked, so it's done. It's a settled deal, if you will. He will. He is going to give the Spirit to me. He will give the Spirit to us. Then I just sort of sense the warning, the admonition. You've asked for the Spirit.
He's going to give you the Spirit now. Don't mess that up. That's the caution. Can I say it this way? Do good with the good gift that your Father, your good Father, gives to you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says it this way. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. The NIV says it like this. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. In the words of one commentator, don't depreciate, don't despise, don't reject the Holy Spirit's supernatural manifestations in you and among you. Another says it this way, don't refuse to do what the Spirit commands. That's the quenching. That's the putting out His fire. That's messing up the good gift. Listen, you want the Spirit. God will give you the Spirit if you ask. Now, don't neglect Him. Don't ignore Him. Don't disobey Him. Not His word to you, not His promptings within you. This is the process that I'm going through. All of a sudden, reading this in Luke, the Holy Spirit mentioned, oh, we want and we need the Holy Spirit. But then the spotlight, the God-breathed word that comes to life, oh, He gives the Spirit to those who ask. And all of a sudden, the realization, that's me. I've asked Him. I've prayed. I've cried out, oh, God, let us have Your Spirit here. I need Your Spirit in my life. So I fit the description. I've asked. He's going to give His Spirit to me. Now what? Now, just don't mess that up. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. If you ask Him, He'll give you His Spirit, the caution. Be very careful with how you respond to what you do with the Spirit. Listen to the caution this morning. Be good. Do good with the good gift that your good Father gives to you. Isn't it true? How wasted the good gift. And even how wasteful of God to give to us the good gift. If all we're going to do is quench Him and put His fire out. Don't do that. Listen to me, brother, sister. Don't do that. Listen to me, New Life. We dare not do that. That's the message this morning. Maybe better to say, that's the initial message, the first one to hear. So Luke tells us that God's our good Father, gives us the good gift of His Spirit. The process we go through in considering that, we want His Spirit. Who He is, what He does, He's the good gift that we want, that we need. And the good news, God gives us His Spirit as we ask of Him. He says He will, He will. It's as simple as that. If we ask for His Spirit, He gives us His Spirit. And then the caution, we don't quench the Spirit. We don't put out the Spirit's fire. We don't depreciate, despise, or reject the work of the Spirit in us or among us. We don't neglect the Spirit. We don't ignore Him. We don't disobey Him. We don't refuse to do what He commands. We are careful and we are good with the Holy Spirit. But Matthew is not so specific. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Ask and it'll be given. Seek, you'll find. Knock, the door will be open. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Verse 11. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Listen now. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? It's really the exact same thing, just without the emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Matthew says, like Luke does, God's our good Father. He gives to us good gifts if we ask of Him. So all of a sudden, I'm thinking, the process, the pattern that we've gone through this morning in Luke related to the Spirit,
can it not then be applied, according to Matthew's gospel, to all of God's good gifts? God's good gifts. Luke 11, the Holy Spirit. Matthew 7, any other of his good gifts as well. The good that our Father gives, we want that. We want his Spirit. We want his good gifts. The good news, God's good gifts. Luke 11, the Holy Spirit. Matthew 7, any other of his good gifts as well. God's good gifts, he gives them to those who ask. The encouragement again, ask. Ask him a lot. Ask him for a lot of things. Ask and keep on asking. Ask with great perseverance and great importunity. And then the caution, be careful. Luke 11, be careful with the gift of the Spirit. Matthew 7, be careful with any and all of his good gifts as well. Whether it's the Spirit or any other thing, do good with the good gift that your good Father gives to you. Don't squander it away. Don't let it be wasted on you. Don't mess it up. It's a good gift after all. How about the gift of Jesus? Aren't you glad for the gift of Jesus this morning? He saves us. He forgives us. Oh, don't you know it's true? We want that gift. We want him. We want Jesus. We need Jesus. Through Jesus, God restores us into right relationship with himself. Through Jesus, God accepts us. Even God will one day receive us unto himself so that for all eternity we can be with him. We can enjoy relationship with him. Through Jesus, God removes the barrier of hostility. We were once his enemies, but now because of Jesus and what he's done in us and for us, we've been made friends with God. All of that good. Wow, is it ever good? But that's not all, and maybe even really not the best. Through Jesus, God's done that, but more still, he's made us to be his children. He's adopted us into his family. We now, listen to me, because of Jesus, only because of Jesus, we can call God our Father. We can approach him as our Father. Listen to me. Don't buy into the lie from, I would say, the very pit of hell that all of us are God's children. No, we're not. That's not scriptural. You're only a child of God as you live your life in Jesus. Jesus makes you to be his child. We know that today. We know the privilege of that. We know the wonder of that. It's the very foundation of this morning's message. We have a Father in heaven, a good, good Father, all because of Jesus. Jesus, he's our helper, he's our healer, he's our provider. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the one who sits at the right hand of God the Father and makes intercession for us. Listen to Psalm 73. What else do I have in heaven but you? Since I have you, what else could I want on earth? My mind and my body may grow weak, but God is my strength, and he is all I ever need. Don't you understand this morning? Jesus is the good gift, and we want him. Now track through the process. The good news, God gives the good gift. God gives us Jesus. God gives Jesus to those who ask. Now, be careful. Hebrews 10 expresses the caution this way. Don't trample underfoot the Son of God. According to the message, what do you think will happen if you turn on God's Son, spit on the sacrifice that made you whole, and insult this most gracious Spirit? You've been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Don't go rolling around now in the mud of sin.
Don't compromise your salvation. Don't squander it away in wild and reckless living. Do good with the good gift that is Jesus that God has given to you. Just quickly for a moment, begin to catalog the good gifts of God. Let me list a few. His Spirit, His Son. How about the good gift of His presence? You want that, don't you want that? We want God's good gift. We want the gift of His presence. And listen, He will give you that. Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, give you a hope and a future. You'll call upon me, come and pray to me, I'll listen to you. You'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. Do you understand God's good plan for you? That you would call upon Him so that He would listen and answer. That you would seek Him with all your heart so that He could let you find Him. You want His presence. The good news, He will give you His presence. Now, just be careful with it. Be careful with the good gift. Don't treat flippantly or casually His presence. Worship Him in His presence. Repent before Him in His presence. Surrender to Him in His presence. I know it might sound a little Old Testament-ish and old schoolish, but still applicable and maybe needed more than ever before. Learn what it is to fall on your face before Him in His presence. Be changed by Him in His presence. Listen, if we leave unchanged today, or any day that we would come into His presence, if we leave the same way we came in, haven't we not done good with His presence? At least to say, haven't we missed it? Don't miss His presence. Don't miss the good gift. How about the good gift of an open invitation to come boldly into His throne room? Whenever you need help, whenever you need His mercy, whenever you need His grace. An open invitation to call out to God wherever and whenever. You know you want that. You know you need that. And He gives it. Now, be careful. Don't neglect the privilege of prayer. How about the good gift of joy that would be for you strength? Peace that this world nor its circumstances or trouble could ever take away. Don't you want that good gift? Don't you want to know the good gift of His joy and His peace? Listen to the good news. This is the pattern. Oh, we want the good gift. Where does that take us? He gives to those who ask. We ask Him for His joy. We ask Him for His peace. Now, the spotlight. He's our good Father. And what does He do? He gives the good gift to those who ask. That's me. I've asked for the good gift of His joy. I've asked for the good gift of His peace. He will give it to me. He'll give it to you. Now, be careful. Listen, don't let the worries of this world take from you what your good Father has given to you. How about the good gift of His wisdom? Oh, we want that. We need that. James chapter 1, James is clear. If anyone lacks wisdom, they have only need to ask of God. He will give wisdom to those who ask. It's really better than just that. He will give generously His wisdom to those who ask. Now be careful. Don't let the good gift be compromised by foolishness and foolish living. How about the good gift of His promises? We want them. He gives them. All of His precious promises. The amen has been spoken already through Christ. Now, be careful with His promises. How about this? Be careful to live in His promises. Don't live less than what His promises have spoken over you and made available to you. How about the good gift that is His blessing?
Oh, don't you want his blessing? Don't you want to know his favor on your life? I've shared this with you many times. It came up just in conversation this last week. Our kids were wondering if we're middle class. And I said, well, we're not middle class. And so they went, well, we're low class. Well, let's not say low class. We probably fall into the poor category, but immediately. But there's no one blessed like we're blessed. I'm just going to be honest. Listen, I have no problem spending money, and I can spend it a lot. I can spend it quick, but I'm telling you, this is the truth, full disclosure. I would rather be poor and blessed of the Lord than rich and not. This is the truth. We want his blessing. We want his favor. Listen, that's one. What's step two? We ask. And what does he do? He gives it to us. Why? Because he's a good father. And he gives. He knows how to give the good gift of his blessing and his favor to his children who ask. Now, be careful with his blessing. Listen, don't ever let his blessing replace him. I like this thought. One author wrote a book entitled Double Blessing. The premise, God doesn't bless us to raise our standard of living. God blesses us to raise our standard of giving. That's where true joy is found. He says the blessing of God, that's just half of it. The other half, we're blessed to bless. His admonishment, don't settle for half. Don't settle for half the life that God has called you to. Double the blessing by being a blessing, even by giving away the blessing. Be careful with the good gift. We have to be done. Listen, he's a good father. And oh, how good are the gifts that he knows how to give to his children. Whether it's his spirit, whether it's his son, whether it's his presence, an invitation to come boldly into his throne room, whether it's his joy, whether it's his peace, his promises, whether it's his blessing. Listen to me. You want those gifts. Maybe this morning you're sensing the prompting of the Spirit. It's time for a realignment of priorities. You want a lot of things. And maybe the things of God, the good gifts of God, maybe they're somewhere on the list. But the Spirit is reminding you today what you want. The Spirit, who knows you better than you know yourself, is reminding you today, listen to me, what you want. Your 1 through 10 list, oh, this is what I want. That's not really what you want. What you want are the good gifts that God gives. I want to encourage you this morning. Set your heart, set your affection, set your desire on longing for what God gives. Listen, just full disclosure, it's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to never mind this world, to never mind the things of this world. I've decided to follow Jesus, and the things of this world have no hold on me. I want the things of God. I want the things of God in my life, for my family. I want the things of God here in this place. We set our heart on that. That's what we want. You go to him and you ask him, and listen to me, you will receive from him. Let there be faith that would arise in you today like never before. Because after all, listen to me, he is your good father. And he knows how to give good gifts to you. It's that simple. It's that plain. It's that clear. You will ask him, and he will give to you. And then as he does that, be careful. Don't mess up the good gift. I believe it on the authority of God's word, New Life. Because we've asked, God's going to give us His Spirit. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Be careful how you respond this morning to the prompting of the Spirit in you. Maybe He's calling you to the altar. Maybe He's calling you to pray for someone. Maybe He's calling you to stand to your feet and lift your hands in worship. Maybe He's calling you to go and do something this week for the kingdom of God. Be careful. Be careful. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't quench the Spirit. Be careful how you treat the great salvation that the Lord has provided. Be careful how you treat God's presence. Listen, don't we know it to be true? Where two or three are gathered, God is in that place. Listen, the Lord of glory is in this room. The Lord of glory is in this room. Be careful. Be careful that you don't treat that flippantly. Be careful that you don't respond so casually to that. I come into the presence of the Lord of glory to punch my ticket. Well, I did my church thing for this week. No, no way. We don't treat the presence of God like that. His joy, His peace. Don't let the worries of this world take that from you. His presence, His invitation to come into His presence. Don't neglect, don't be too busy for prayer. Don't treat the good gift of an open invitation by casually neglecting it and setting it aside because you're just too busy. Too many other things on the list. Be careful. Don't mess up the good gift. We're people. We're humans. The pattern of Scripture, we have an incredible propensity to mess up the good gift. Don't mess up the good gift. Do good with the good gift that your good Father gives to you. Father, I pray this morning that you would help us in that. Because I believe sort of the rest, if you will, is given. Lord, as we begin to catalog your good gifts, we know without a shadow of a doubt, that's what we really want. That's what we long for. That's what we truly desire above anything and everything else. It's that. We know that, God. I know that our tendency is that gets blurred or we lose sight of that day to day. We want this, we want that. But Lord, as we're reminded of the good gifts that come from you, there's no question, there's no doubt in our mind. Above anything and everything else, we want your good gifts. That's a given. On the authority of your word, I declare it today, it's a given that as we ask, you'll give us what we ask for. You'll give us your Holy Spirit. You'll give us Jesus. You'll give us your presence. You'll give us your blessing. You'll give us your favor. You'll give us joy. You'll give us peace. Maybe there's a challenge here that we would go to asking again. Maybe we've forgotten to ask. Maybe our asking has been weak and placid at best. And now we're sensing an urgency. We're going to persevere. And there's going to be some brashness and some newfound boldness to what we ask you for. We're going to ask you for the unbelievable and unimaginable. Lord, then you'll give to us what we ask for. That's the given. Lord, I wonder, but that the most help we would need this morning, oh, help us to be careful with the good gift that you give to us. Father, thank you for being our good, good Father. Thank you, Jesus, for not just restoring relationship with God, but adopting us into God's family. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. God is your Father in heaven. He's a good Father. And He has good gifts for you. And you want His good gifts. Yes, you do. Today you ask Him for the good gift. And on the authority of His word, even as I sense God speak it to my heart not so long ago. You will receive what you ask of Him. You will receive His Spirit. He will give to you His presence. You will seek Him with all your heart. You'll find Him. He'll make Himself known to you. You'll know Him like you've never known Him before. You'll have His joy. You'll have His peace. You'll ask Him today. And you'll receive from Him. And you will be careful. Won't we be careful? We'll do good and be good with the good gift that our good Father gives to us. Oh, I pray that we would. I pray that we would. My brother, my sister, be careful. New Life, be careful. We will. We will. Today, as we close, I want to pray the blessing of the Lord over you. Would you stand to receive that? Would you extend your hands to receive His blessing today? I pray it over you. I speak it over you. I declare it over you in the name of Jesus and on the authority of His word. As under shepherd of the great shepherd and high priest of this assembly, listen to me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. And the Lord turn to you and give to you His peace. We've asked Him. Now we'll receive that from Him. Would you say amen to that? Amen. Amen and amen. We receive the blessing of the Lord today.